Smiling Faces the Podcast is a Defiantly Me production. To learn more, visit them on Instagram at Defiantly Me Productions.
She f***ed around for 2 years. Like, I asked her out straight up. Let me take you out on a date. She told me I don't want to date her. She's crazy. She is crazy. Can confirm.
Correct, yes.
But I went on and did my own business. Like, I was like, f*** this. I'm going to go do whatever. Da, 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 da. So I appreciate what you're saying about me, but I was about to sell the f*** out, Jess.
I know you were, but you didn't. You were going to, but you didn't. And not because you chose not to. I know
that's beautiful.
The world lined up, but that is who you are.
Lucy goes, can confirm you were about to sell out.
Welcome back to Smiling Faces, the podcast. I'm Victoria Dunn.
And I'm Jess Anguiano, and we are the executive producers of Smiling Faces, our hit show about two girls who discover they're dating the same guy while working at a toxically positive spin studio.
On this podcast, we provide you with unfiltered conversations and answer the question, instead of self-care, why not revenge?
I love when you say that.
It's the question of the hour at all times.
Oh, God. Yes. Especially this week.
Although I feel like I'm taking no revenge. Huh? This week?
Yeah.
Ugh. Talk about it. I'm taking no revenge except on my will to live.
You are going so hard right now.
It's so bad. Although I got a very exciting email right before this of like, you've been officially added to... Whoa, Mike. It looks like you're in a rave.
Mike. No, it's just Ray Phoenix. Just Ray Phoenix's interest. Guys, you know I'm watching wrestling every Friday night during this show. We know this.
I mean,
I am watching SmackDown as we speak on my TV above my monitor. So I do multi things.
These videos are going to look. The videos are going to look crazy.
They're going to look great. Party up in here.
No, they're not. Oh, my God. They're going to look nuts.
I like it. All right.
So yeah,
you are very busy. Yeah. You are very and producing a television show or a web series. Yes, yes.
Yeah. And I officially got added to the scheduling app that we use at the Legree Studio in the trainer's scheduling. So I was like, it's getting official.
Yeah. Victoria is not only an executive producer of a hit show. She's also training to do Pilates and teach Legree, which I think, you know what's going to be really fun? At some point, maybe we can host an event. And you can teach it.
Yeah. We'll have to, I'll have to talk to the owner and be like, cool about this, which she does love me because I tend to draw the crazies. Love her. But
you know what I was thinking?
I tend to draw.
I was thinking about the hotties that you drew. Remember that guy that was coming in that we were sort of cyberstalking a bit for you? I mean, I know
it
now.
It was a time.
Now we've got Whole Foods in the pocket, but.
Yes. We've got him in the bag. He's great, but
he's in the bag.
Yeah, I was like, there was a time. Well, okay, not a fish. Although it's so funny, my broham Lindsay, like that's the way we tease each other. So, like, if any of us like someone, we basically make fun of the other person for liking a boy. So she's like, "Ew, you like a boy? You have a boyfriend?" I'm like, "No, I don't. Stop it."
I don't. You do. You do. But more on that later. We have to talk about updates for the show. We had an awesome meeting this week and just talked about next steps.
Totally. Getting one, I think, still producer agreement things, but then also like next steps for kind of going through a fine tooth comb with the episodes and almost doing like a system of looking through each episode, hitting the high points of each character and like story plot things and doing like a little post-it system to be like, okay, let's see how this goes along. And then kind of checking in on the notes and feedback that we got that actors had from the reading and being like, hey, this didn't quite make sense to me. Or like, oh, I think so-and-so needs XYZ. So kind of like looking at those postage through each episode to make sure that those points are hit and those questions are answered. So it's kind of the deep dive now of said script.
Yeah, because for those of you who don't know or weren't tuned in, we did a table read, a live table read here at the house with actual actors and heard the whole script out loud because Victoria did a whole rewrite as we pivoted into a web series. We had to cut it into smaller bite-sized chunks so that we could do 6-minute episodes. So we heard it and, oh God, it's hilarious. It's so funny.
I'm excited.
So funny. We listened to Victoria rap. She's going to work on that.
Shade. I was really thrown on the spot and I expected to have someone doing it with me, but then I realized, hey, let's not make the actor who was stepping in for the person playing the opposite lead of me, let's not make her on the fly rap.
Right.
So I took that on by myself and it was a time.
It was a solid.
It was a freshly written rap.
Yeah, solid C plus effort. I would.
Damn.
Here's what I did. I turned to Victoria and was like, after the reading, after everybody left, and I was like, listen, but like you can rap, right? Like I just want to make sure you didn't write something in here that you couldn't do.
I can do it. It was a fresh rap. And that was my first time saying it literally out loud.
Yeah.
I had to.
It was funny.
But I'm also hard-headed. Yeah. I would write myself going like, I don't know, being a fencer or doing like, what's that that fancy horse stuff?
Polo?
Where like stag?
Dressage?
What's that called?
Dressage?
Yes, dressage. I would write that into a script. And be like, and then my character does dressage.
I would love to see you write that into a script. I have to tell you, the first script that I ever wrote, ever, I was bored. I was working consistently in Denver, making good money, supporting my family, just really, really successful as an actress. However, all the parts I was playing were really the same note, same thing all the time, which is how you make money. Once you kind of find the pocket of your brand, that's how I made my money. I worked as the working class woman and was constantly being cast in like diner waitresses and Walmart cashiers and such, which was great. However, it was really boring. And I thought, I want to do something more exciting. So I partnered with this gal and we wrote a 4-person scene. And in that scene, my character continued to have fantasy. She was me. She was just kind of like a regular gal, you know, middle America, kind of just a simple gal, married. And I wrote that she'd have these fantasies where she's scaling the sides of buildings and like racing around. Like there was this whole scene where her mailman turns into a spy and she jumps in his van with him. And then they race around the city. So I wanted to film, I wanted to get footage of myself playing these sort of out of the box, out of the brand characters for myself. It was so much fun to write. It was my first web series that I produced. It was a blast to shoot. And it was kind of like how I started in producing and writing because I was bored. And I always said, I want to write stuff for myself as an actress that is totally out of my wheelhouse. And I love that you did that. Although I don't think rapping's out of your wheelhouse. I have sung karaoke with you. You're a rock star.
Thank you. Now that I will do. I'll throw charisma at the problem any chance I get. Now singing is a whole other thing because I definitely did a sketch just for fun. I like wrote a thing. I forget what song. I always like to map over songs, which I don't know. I think that's like maybe a cheat sheet for me.
You had like a Weird Al Yankovic thing going.
Basically, yeah. Because I was upset about seeing like all these girls like getting flued out. And I was like, can't average girls get flown out too? Must it only be baddies? And so I did a whole song about like wanting to be flued out as like a regular girl. And I remember I recorded it with friend to the show, friend of the pod, Brick, because he does those kind of parodies all the time. Yeah. And as I was at his place recording it, he was like, so you wrote a sketch where you solely sing. I was like, correct. He goes, you don't sing. I was like, don't I? Don't I Sing?
But don't haven't we?
He's like,
haven't we learned anything from RuPaul's Drag Race? Those drag queens get on there and they don't sing, but they do sing. They just do it,
right?
And it's amazing. Nobody cares if you can sing well or not, as long as you do it with charisma, as you said. Throw your charisma at it.
Exactly. I'm always in my Veruca Salt era, which is, who says I can't?
I want the world.
I want the whole world. Yes, like, I'll make it happen.
And I've seen you do it, and I've seen you do it brilliantly. I wouldn't say that you can't sing. I think you can sing.
Thank you. I tear it up when I go with, again, projecting forward, when I go with Whole Foods to karaoke. Mm-hmm. I really am like, the stakes couldn't be lower. Let's go.
Let's go.
He's like, you really enjoy this. I'm like, I do.
I have to say, I went with my bestie, Chris, who is also a friend of the podcast, to a new kind of neighborhood divey bar. It's new, though, in Sherman Oaks. And it was emo night. And they were doing emo karaoke. And it was really fun at first. And then I was like, we got to go. I can't listen to this anymore.
You do need some levity. There's something like emo songs can be fun. Like someone throws in maybe like a good Charlotte or like an Evanescence or something. Oh, then you're
bring me to life.
But once, but then when it's all that all the time, you're like, hey, I'm kind of bummed. You?
Like, this is what I listened to when I was 14 and sat in my bedroom.
When you actually had no problems.
Right. Yeah.
When you thought you had problems and the gag, you didn't. It's like, oh, sweetie, wait until you get into your 30s and 40s and you'll really want that Good Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly. It was, I have to say, the people.
Shout out to Good Charlotte, who's from Maryland.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Hell yeah. Them boys is from the Southern Maryland, right around the area Lucy's from.
Love.
Yeah. Shout out to Good Charlotte.
I think they're dropping a new album. I saw a billboard and it damn near crashed. I was like, no way.
What?
I saw it on La Brea and I was like, oh shit. Like, I got so excited.
Okay, Good Charlotte. They took some time off to have some babies and get married. And now here, I don't know if that's true. I should know before I say.
Oh, it's very true. One of them's married to Cameron Diaz.
Oh, that'll do. Yes. Okay.
Another one. Yeah. Another one's Nicole Richie. Yeah. They're happy. They're good.
Oh, for sure. They don't need to make no money.
Mm-mm.
No. Wait a minute.
Speaking of merit.
Yes.
I know. Speaking of marriage. Should we tap dance really quick onto the infidelity of it all? Speaking of music and infidelity.
Coldplay.
Our marriage.
Which, before you dive down this road, something that I know that's happening at Coldplay concerts, they are pulling out all the stops. Apparently, this concert that they are on, this tour, is unbelievable. My brother actually works in Wisconsin, and he runs the crew that builds the stages. And his crew built that stage at that Madison, Wisconsin concert that Coldplay played on. So shout out to my brother again. I love shouting out my brother. Hi. My brother Spike.
I love a connect.
Yes. So anyway, Coldplay, though, they're kind of doing this at every concert. They're just putting people, politicians, the world on blast in the middle of their concerts. So I really want to see them. I think I need to see them.
I mean, technically, it should be a sweet moment because it's Kiss Cam.
Yeah, it's Kiss Cam. Yeah,
so it should be nice.
It should be a very, very, like, very nice, beautiful moment. You know how they do it sports, you know, arenas and do the Kiss Cam and all that stuff like that. But shit.
Ever since this happened, sports teams have been spoofing it with their mascots, which is crazy. But now, like, Coldplay goes, hey, so we will be doing a Kiss Cam and you will potentially be on camera in the arena. Look alive. Pay attention. Like,
don't be doing no dirt. Get yourself caught
warning.
Out.
Yeah, they're warning people now. It's nuts. But for those that, I guess, somehow miss this, which I don't know how.
Yeah, I did not catch the whole
astronomer.
Story. I did not catch the whole story. So okay. I need you to break it down for me because I just saw the aftermath of go ahead.
Okay. So the CEO of this app called Astronomer, mm-hmm. has been having an affair. He's married. And so is the HR person who he was cheating with.
Gross.
Who is also married. And they were in a box. And the other person that they bring, like in the video, like the other person, like, they're like hugged up on this video. Coldplay does their kiss cam. And as it tightens on them, they realize that they're on the Jumbotron. And instead of playing it off, because who the fuck knows the CEO of Astronomer? And instead of playing it off, they immediately panic. And so then it draws everyone's attention. And Chris Martin goes, oh, he goes, either those two are cheating or they are very shy. And like, so the camera stays on them.
When he pulls the card, that's the thing. When he pulls the card,
he runs, she ducks, and they kind of pan the camera to follow. And one of the other women in the box with them is one of their employees who had just gotten hired in the HR department. So they rope this new poor girl into the drama. And she's in there covering her face like, goo. So she's a new hire. So that's awkward. From what I heard, they closed the office like the next few days to deal with it so people didn't come in and talk about it. He's since retired. Well, stepped down. Obviously, they forced him out. So he stepped down. HR lady stepped down.
Yeah, head of HR. What's crazy about that, though, is that he wrote an apology letter. And at the end of the apology letter, he essentially blamed Coldplay.
He did.
Which is crazy.
His
I love
letter,
white men. They always find a way.
His statement was nuts. He basically said, how dare you catch me cheating? Like, it was, this is nuts.
I don't know. Crazy. You know, I love to put a PSA out. If you are cheating, if you are listening to this podcast right now and you are actively cheating on your partner, and by the way, I'm not just talking about having sex. If you are cheating on your partner with money, with emotional cheating, with just getting too close to a friend at work, if you're cheating by looking at pictures on the internet or texting with other people on the internet, even though they're not real people, you are going to be caught. You are going to be caught. Hear my words.
Especially if you're
going to get caught.
Especially if you're going out there publicly and like at concerts like that, what are you doing? Like, his statement, and he ends it with a Coldplay lyric, which is diabolical.
Oh my God, what did he say?
He said
the fucking Caucasity of it all. That's the part.
I'm
the
telling
Caucasity
you
of it all, bro. Like, it's the fact that he sent an apology and then blamed Coldplay.
I'm
like,
sorry, I was like, but bro, it's not my fault.
Yeah, what possessed you to go out with the head of HR? You guys go butt to penis on a kiss cam.
Butt to penis.
And then that's how he was. It was like one of them old school prom pictures where the girl is turned around and got nuzzled up to the dude.
It is.
That's how they caught them.
They are hugged up.
Yeah.
So apparently it says, I want to acknowledge the moment that's been circulating online and the disappointment it's caused. What was supposed to be a night of music and joy turned into a deeply personal mistake playing out on a very public stage. I also want to express how troubling it is that what should have been a private moment became public without my consent. I respect artists and entertainers, but I hope we can all think more deeply about the impact of turning someone else's life into a spectacle. As a friend once sang, lights will guide you home and ignite your bones, and I will try to fix you.
All white dudes are hilarious, bro. That shit right there should be framed and put somewhere. Because it's like, what?
Wait,
private moment? Get the fuck out of
here.
Yeah,
if you don't want it, if you want to have a private moment, then you go and you hide your shame in a shameful place. If you don't want
an hourly hotel.
Yes, thank you. In the backseat of a car at the mall. Like, get,
thank
yeah,
you.
Tint your windows and hide your shame. But if you don't want to be caught cheating, just don't cheat.
Don't cheat.
Don't cheat.
Don't cheat.
I know you're filling a hole inside your soul, but you just got to know you don't love that person, because if you love that person, you wouldn't make them the other woman or man. If you love that person, you would break up with the person you're with and you would be with the other person. Like, and I know that's so black and white thinking, but the truth is you and I have both seen it so many times. Don't cheat.
Right.
Fix your brokenness. It's okay you're broken, but get out and get some help. because you're going to get caught, which technically, let's be honest, that guy wanted to be caught. That's why he's in a box.
I mean,
with
clearly.
His other employee.
Right. Why would you drag an employee into it? That's nuts.
Nuts.
With the head of you and the head of HR, you're the CEO canoodling in a box with another HR employee that you just hired.
Come on.
Like, right. And then what you're doing is you're staring all the other employees in the face and daring them to say something.
Because now you're making them all culpable.
Yeah. The audacity of it all. And I just love that he got caught at a concert. You know what, bro?
It's gorgeous.
I love that he got caught at a Coldplay concert. You. And I will constantly throw shade at anybody who's so dramatic that they quote any kind of song lyrics post 18 years of age. Like, no, sir.
For sure.
No, sir.
It's giving AOL Instant Messenger.
Oh, I quote songs all the time. I quote songs and movies. No, so you know what? You?
We're not talking. I'm not That's talking cool. about quoting them for funsies. I'm saying using it as a point of deep respect and, you know, introspection, you know. And did he say a good friend once said? So is he saying he's friends with Coldplay?
He did. He's implying it.
He's implying. Yeah.
Which even this, like, Mike, in fairness, when you post song lyrics, you're not doing what the Reed lovingly calls an iOS press release, where like a celebrity gets in trouble and writes an apology in their notes app and screenshots it. That's not what you're doing. No. I'll allow it from you.
I'm also not going to go to a concert, get caught on a kiss cam.
Well, that too.
Booed up with another woman. It's just not going to happen here, bro.
Well, it wasn't going to happen
I'd
regardless.
Be booed up with a pizza more than a woman.
Which, right. Now, the other piece I love, which I've now in my digging has not been able to be verified that this actually happened, but every fiber of my being wants this to be his future ex-wife's statement because it is so smiling faces coded. May I?
Please proceed. This is, you found this on the internet. It seems to be a letter from the future ex-wife of this man who was caught cheating.
Allegedly.
Please.
Allegedly.
Yes. That's the word right there.
Allegedly. Listen, this is allegedly. Her letter.
That is
Let's
correct.
Keep it clean. Let's yes. keep it. Keep our noses out of it. Go ahead.
So this potentially badass bitch said, "It has come to my attention, and apparently to the attention of half the internet, that my husband, Andrew Byron, has made certain choices, public ones, under stadium lights, during a Coldplay concert, a venue not typically associated with infidelity, but here we are. Let me be perfectly clear. I am not issuing this statement in defense, nor in heartbreak. I'm issuing it in power, in precision, in silk gloves and sharpened wit. I will not be engaging in performative forgiveness, nor am I interested in the optics of grace. What Andy has done is not just humiliating, it is banal, common. A man of ambition brought down by his own astonishing lack of imagination. I have retained counsel. I have reviewed holdings. I have reallocated what was once ours into what is now very clearly mine. Mm. I am not spiraling. I am ascending. And while Andy may have quoted Coldplay in his statement, I will simply say, when the lights went out, I saw everything clearly. To those who expect tears, I don't cry for clowns. I schedule, I document, I rebuild. This is not revenge. It is refinement. And he will feel it in the silence that follows."
Whew. Says,
I want it to be real.
From the heart of a woman, every woman. And man,
the way I quivered,
every person
I quivered when I read that.
Every human betrayed by someone who said, "I love you," whether it's real or not, that speaks from the soul of somebody that's been.
If I could be sexually turned on by a statement, it was that one.
You can be, and you were.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Listen, my little project manager heart just fluttered when she said, "I schedule." I was like, "Yes, queen. Yes, you do.
Right.
Yes, you do. Schedule your shit. Claim your power."
Thank you.
Document
between
time.
That, the silk gloves and sharpened wit. Ooh. I was like, "Bitch.
Yes.
Do it."
You know, it takes me back to my divorce, because my divorce was so, it was so sad. It was so tragic. And there's a whole episode about that. If you've missed it, go back and listen. However, I will say this. I sat down with four lawyers in one day, four different lawyers, because they were referred to me. And every single one of them was like, yeah, I'll take a consultation with you. And they all saw me in the same day. And every single one of them was like, look, I know that you want me to handle this for you because you're in so much pain, but I can tell you right now, you don't need me. You can file for divorce. You can do this on your own. And I'll say this. When I got home and I downloaded the divorce papers, because my ex-husband had said, there's divorce papers in the mail, and he was lying the whole time. So based on the way he was treating me, I was like, oh no, I have to leave this person. So I downloaded these divorce papers and I read through them. And with every page I read, it was that energy. I schedule, I organize, I claim my power, because I could execute. I was like, all right, I'm going to read this page and I'm going to fill in the information, and I'm going to read this next page and fill in the information. And because I could take those tiny baby steps and just fill in one line at a time and then come back to it after, you know, go sit and cry for a little bit and then come back to it, because I could take those steps, that helped me get through and grab my power and get in a U-Haul and drive. Well, I had a friend drive me out to Los Angeles, right, and rebuild my whole life. So get scheduling, Megan. Ooh. Fill that Google calendar.
I'm saying,
block your time.
With the gloves. Get your things. Get your assets. Get everything. Oof.
Yeah.
I don't know what astronomer does, but get them.
Get them. Take every dime. And here's the fun thing about taking every dime. It's hers. You know? Half of it's hers.
Right.
You know?
Because I'm sure she was there while he was ideating that company or something.
Oh, sure. And it is half hers, because that's what marriage is about. I'm not saying fundamentally that I believe that, you know, just because you get married. But if you choose to get married, that's the whole deal. You share it all. That's the point.
Yeah.
Including your embarrassment in front of millions of Americans during a Coldplay concert. You also sign up for that.
Yeah, which the way I'd be like, ooh, and this is where I'm like, look at what this guy did.
Right?
ooh, I will throw you under the bus so fast, sweetie. You don't even know that was behind you.
Nope.
Like, hot potato.
Come on. Sam, as the lone married person here on this podcast, like, I saw that situation and I was like, fuck. Like, this guy, what are you doing, bro? Like, use your brain, CEO. Use your brain.
It's messy.
Obviously, you fell.
Yeah.
It fucking is messy. It's messy. Like, it's too damn messy.
Yeah.
Which that's the gag, too. Not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love the line where she said, what'd she say? Something about being unoriginal. That wasn't the word, but.
Oh, she said it was banal, common.
Common, basic.
Common is such a read.
Oh. Cheating is.
It really is, though.
Rise above.
Especially with a coworker. That's why even when talked about your ex-husband, I was like, really? You just turned to your left and found a bitch? Like, grow up.
Yeah, don't shit where you eat, bro.
No.
It's common. It is.
Like, it's way too common, but don't shit where you eat.
Yeah.
People are out here crying the male loneliness epidemic. They're like, well, there's nobody around. And I'm like, really? Because everywhere I turn, some man is just like, you'll do. You're within arm's reach. You know, like,
right.
Just like, it's just take, it's fill your body with air, lift your head up and just look around a little, guys, you know,
it's uninspired. It really is.
It's banal. It's basic.
It's very banal.
Okay. I want to talk about something that's not basic, which is your thriving, budding romance with your not quite official BF, Whole Foods, or should we call him WF?
No. Oh, I was like, WF. BFW. The fact that my brain did gymnastics to figure out what that was.
But you did them fast. You did them fast.
I did. Listen, yeah, things have been good. He's like helping genuinely with so much. Okay, he did. I feel like I'm just giving the updates. Like, he did a nice thing, but he always is.
guys, Victoria's seeing somebody and he does nice things. Like, the good men are out there, okay? They're out there.
I'm really mad that you're, like, excited about that. Like, something that should be, I don't know.
The straights are down bad.
Like, that's crazy that y'all are excited about that. Like it blows my married mind.
Do you forget how many horror stories we have shared in the 36 episodes that we have put out? Do you forget the way that we have been treated by 49% of the world's population?
Thank you. Because he will talk to me about stuff and I'll say, like, how much I appreciate, like, stuff he does and how he is with me. And he goes, yeah, sure. And, like, he's, like, weirded out by it. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. I was like, I've been treated, like, pretty shittily. And he was like, who would treat you bad? And I was like, plenty. Really? Plenty of people.
Some people. I went to the Grand Canyon on an epic life goal of a trip with a man who wanted to end the trip a day early because some dumb bitch that he was sleeping with when he met me was like, hey, you around this weekend? Like, this is the status quo. Like, this is normal.
He's like, I can be.
Yeah. I can't be. Yeah. Give me, I'm 8 hours away at the Grand Canyon with another woman I've been dating.
Give me a minute.
Yeah. and I didn't drive myself, but, you know, it was her car, but I think I could turn this around. I'll be right there. Hang tight.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm like, no, this is not normal. Like, he's been so supportive, like, little things, and he's like, I know that you're busy. And that's what I think the big thing I appreciate is that he understands I'm busy and he doesn't make me feel bad about it, like basically every other guy has. He's like, no, he's like, I'm happy to see you when I get to see you. And he makes a point of, when we're hanging out, he's like, I want you just to relax. He's like, and he'll look at me and go, are you thinking about what you have to do? And I went, yeah. He goes, stop that. He's like, just enjoy right now.
We're coming up on 90 days. Like, you got, like, what, another 3 weeks to go? And then you'll be 90 days.
Is that the rule? Yet? Wait, is that the rule? 90 days?
Here's what happens.
Oh, no.
It's not a rule.
Like, what's the rule?
It's a thing. It's a dating thing. So now as a woman out in the world, out on these streets, although we all know that I've put a pin in it and I'm having a no man summer. Nope. Mm-hmm. There's no.
It's a protest summer. It's not. Yeah.
We are having a hot girl protest summer. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the deal is that I forgot what I was going to say.
I want to know about the 90 days because you keep talking about the 90 days.
Yeah.
And I'm
sorry.
Trying to figure
this
out
is like a
if
thing.
Victoria is following this 90 day rule.
This is like a thing. It's not a rule.
I wasn't aware of it.
It's not a rule. What it is that when you are dating somebody and you start creeping up on this 90 day mark, something kind of starts to switch in their brain because it's 3 months in and they start. I'm not sure if it's men or if it's just the other person. The other person in the relationship or yourself starts to think like, wow, I've been doing this for a quarter of a year and something shifts. And oftentimes relationships end after 90 days because if you've been doing it for a quarter of a year, then you might do it for another quarter of a year and then you might do it for a whole year. And then all of a sudden you're in a committed relationship. So somewhere around three months, 90 days is where people start to be like, wait, I think this is turning into something. You can look it up, like, but it's not a rule. It's like an experience. It's like a phenomenon, you know, after about 90 days, a lot of people will have like 3 month long relationships and then it'll just peter out, you know, because it gets real. Shit's starting to get real.
Yeah, which now I'm thinking about, I'm like, how often do I get to that threshold and then go, yep, let's keep going, or it crumbles. Okay, I need to go back and do some recon on what's happened there. So far, I think we're in like a weird spot right now where I'm like assessing what, because even before we started recording, I was talking to him, we talked about holiday stuff, and I was like, oh, I don't want to talk about like future holiday stuff because that feels weird. But then I'm talking about like what I do for holidays. I'm just speaking like generalities.
Yeah.
Of like, this is what I do for holidays.
I mean, honestly, like when you think about it, it's like he's going to start thinking about Christmas presents, you know, like Your birthday's coming up. That's a big marker. Is he going to give you a birthday present?
You know, birthdays are girls and gays.
I know. I love that your birthday's a girl.
Yeah, you don't want to start that too soon. You don't want to put that pressure on too soon. No. Lucy did say, though, her longest relationship before me was 4 months.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I don't.
Damn. What a pivot.
Listen,
4 months and then full-blown marriage.
I'm hated on because I'm kind of a unicorn, because the first person that I had a deep relationship with, I married. So I realized that that catches a lot of bitterness from a lot of single folks who've been dating for, like, I get it. My own brother and sister are like, I feel like they're bitter towards me because I'm married. And like, the first person that I had a deep relationship with was Lucy, and I ended up marrying her. So,
but I would venture to say, knowing you the way I know you, Mike, you don't really fuck around. So if you...
I was about to become a huge fuckboy. like real talk, guys, like, I'm telling you, real talk. I was about to become a huge fuckboy. And then Lucy locked it. She came to her senses. But I legitimately was like, fuck these women. I ain't got time for them. They don't want nice guys. And I was about to just become a whole ass fuckboy. I was going to be like, yeah, I'm fuck whoever. I went to homecoming, the homecoming that we hooked up at, her and I.
Yeah.
I went there to have sex with someone else.
Woo!
Legitimately, Lucy was not on my bingo card. Yeah, so like...
Sure. But to my point, the thing that I know about you, Mike, is that, like, sure, you had aspirations of being a fuckboy. The deal is, what I know about you...
Sorry, aspiring to be a fuckboy is crazy.
I think that could be the title of your memoir.
Right. Aspiring fuckboy?
Aspiring fuckboy.
The aspirations to be a fuckboy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But that's fine and dandy. But the kind of person that you are is that when you lock in on something, you're not leaving until it comes home with you. Like, you don't mess around. You are an all-in kind of person. You don't have a lot. You're not a lot of, you're not flippant. You're not casual. You're like, oh, we're doing this? Let's fucking go. And that is, so it doesn't surprise me at all that when you met Lucy, like, I bet you've met dozens and dozens of other women that you're like, but when you saw Lucy, it was like, oh, it's go time. I believe that. And I know she had her, you know, what did you say she had made?
She fucked around for 2 years.
Yeah,
That's why I almost became a fuckboy. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, I believe you.
Like, she fucked around for 2 years. Like, I asked her out straight up. Let me take you out on a date. She told me, I don't want to date her. She's crazy. She is crazy. Can't confirm.
Correct, yes.
But I went on and did my own business. Like, I was like, fuck this. I'm going to go do whatever. Da, 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 da. So I appreciate what you're saying about me, but I was about to sell the fuck out, Jess.
I know you were, but you didn't. You were going to, but you didn't. And not because you chose not to.
That's beautiful.
The world lined up, but that is who you are.
Lucy goes, can confirm you were about to sell out.
I'm going to be honest with you. Knowing what I know about Grammy Kate, I don't know if that go down real well with your family. I think Grammy Kate will be upset.
Listen, I don't. One thing you need to know about me, I don't give a fuck what my family thinks.
Nice.
So I will look my beautiful grandmother, 94. She was 94 last weekend. Shout out to
Happy birthday,
my grandmother.
Kate.
94. Yeah, 94 or whatever. But the one thing I do me every time. I don't give a fuck.
Listen,
what they say.
I understand.
So when I told you I was about to really sell out, I was really about to sell out.
I understand that you don't give a fuck about your family except for you, Bonnie. We love you, Bonnie. Keep listening.
Yes.
Stay tuned in. We love you. We're thinking about you. We're sending all our love and joy to your heart.
She loves me, but she knows the deal too. I've been here for 15 years. She know the deal too.
Oh my God.
That's right. Oh gosh. All right. Well, listen, that brings me to my favorite part of the show. We have got to kick off our smiling faces moment of the week. So I got to know, what are you guys grinning and bearing it through this week, Victoria?
Woo. Circling on the training for Legree certification of it all, being an instructor, trying to fit in my obligations for that class is fully whooping my ass. And there was a day where I was so tired. I genuinely can't recall the last time I was that tired, where I was up late. I drove, so I have to go to 3 different studios in the morning sometimes to like do my obligations. So I drove to the furthest location in Marina Del Rey. I took a class at 5 a.m. I left from that studio because there's only certain locations and certain instructors I can observe. So then I drove into another location, observed that instructor, then drove to the next location so I could shower to go into my normal 9-to-5 job. And somewhere in between the end of observing and on the way to shower, I was so tired. I actually was at a red light and almost fell asleep.
Girl.
Because I did a long blink and I just sat there and I had like something stirred me awake and I was like, oh no. So I slapped myself across the face. Because we're doing it. And then I got in there. And as soon as I walked into the studio, the girl that works there goes, oh no. she saw my face and she was like, are you just here to shower? And I went, mm-hmm. And kind of mumbled some sounds. And she went, okay, go just go stand in the shower. Maybe that'll help. It kind of did, but I might as well have free-based caffeine the rest of that day. I was taking espresso shots and coffee all day, but I've never been that tired. I folded at 11 a.m.
You're just done.
I was so tired at 11. Yeah. Because I'd lived a full day.
Yeah.
Before that time.
Yeah. That's 6 hours of work, 5 a.m. to 11. Yeah. That's enough. Yeah. You can call it quits. And then you stayed at work until 5?
Correct. Yeah. I stayed until 5. And then that was Tuesday. So then we I drove down. We had our meeting. Yeah.
You're all right.
So I did 4 a.m. to
10, 11,
8, 9 p.m., 10, and then went home, showered, went to bed. Yeah, that was a dark day.
And I had the caucasity, as Mike likes to say, to turn to these two when we were meeting and being it's 8:45. I'm done. I'm going to bed. I'm very tired. Goodbye. And Victoria was like,
word?
Sure.
Sure. You tired?
Sure. You're tired, girl. Okay. And I was like, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. Mike. What,
girl?
Speaking of people who aren't sleeping, Mike, what are you grinning and bearing it through?
What am I grinning and bearing it through? Obviously, Birdie is a staple at this point. That's what I'm doing. You know what? Shout out to Hulk Hogan. Fuck Terry Bollea, but as a little wrestling guy, Hulk Hogan was iconic growing up. I watched wrestling with my pops. In fact, my pops is the one that called me about Hulk Hogan yesterday or whatever. So he's an icon. WWE and the wrestling business wouldn't be what it was worldwide like it was if it wasn't for him. So, you know, I know he got some shit.
Problematic.
Some shit is a racist rant. Problematic. But okay,
I know he's got some shit.
He tap danced on the hard R. He did. N-word.
Yeah, Terry Bollea is a piece of shit. But Hulk Hogan, for what he did for the business, this is why people get paid what they do and why they're being treated better than they ever been in the business. So you can't argue the impact. You can argue that he's a piece of shit as a person, but you can't argue the impact and what he's done for the business. So RIP Hulk Hogan, fuck Terry Bollea.
We hear you. And listen, I love Michael Jackson, but not the person, just the music. So, you know, love the artist, hate the man, you know.
I'm definitely one of those where I'm like, never mind. I'm not going to say it. I don't want to get myself canceled.
Well, I'm grinning and bearing it through an injury. That's right. Your favorite weightlifting gal pal pulled some sort of quad muscle and just limping around, short strided, can't lift. I was doing front squats. I put too much weight on. I got ahead of myself. It felt good, but 2 days later, couldn't walk around. So,
you ever walk backwards on a treadmill? That'll help.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Walk backwards. Because I had ACL surgery. Walk backwards on a treadmill. It'll help with your knee.
Okay. So it's what I found out is that it's quad quadriceps tendonitis, which is, mm-hmm. yeah, basically volleyball players get it, or like basketball players when you do a lot of jumping. I'm not jumping that much. I mean, a couple box jumps in my CrossFit class. Okay. But let's be honest, they're step ups. And the problem, though, is that I was doing the front. It's the front squats weighted with the barbell. And I was pushing it because I felt good, but dang, it hit hard. So that's what I'm smiling and grinning through, grinning and bearing it through, is that I injured myself again this year. And then also bloodshot. Damn. I got like a, what do you call it when your eye gets, you break a blood vessel in your eye. So that's been weird. It's like moving around.
Yeah. Bloodshot.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like a little,
good for you.
Just like the right side is not functioning this week. And so we're just like, we're just grinning and bearing it through it. Thanks for your love.
To the right side of your body.
Yeah.
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 Damn. Casual.
Yeah. Casual. The whole right side of my body. Just giving me hell.
Oh my God. At least it's one side.
Exactly. Okay. Okay. Tell people where they can watch you, because you have a show coming tomorrow.
Yes. So tomorrow, August 2nd, we have our standard words. Oh no. Improv. Whoa. Improv show.
She's doing fine, folks. She's been up since 4 a.m. She's done 14 Legree classes, worked a full day's work, and is recording a podcast and producing a show. She's doing fine, guys.
Right. What have you done?
She's doing great. So,
tomorrow, August 2nd, 7 o'clock at the Broadwater Theater. Enjoy some improv with the Affirmative Reaction, where you will see my team, the Idris's Elbas, as well as the men's team, which is the Regina Kings, do some improv. It's always a fun time. We always have a little kiki. And yeah, there'll be some stand-up. It's a good little time. So pop on over, get your tickets.
And hey,
it's always pay what you can too. So we don't try and drain the wallet.
I love that. And shout out to Affirmative Reaction, who just started following us on our social medias. Do you want to be just like a really cool improv troupe and follow us too? Because you can. Find us on Instagram at smilingfaces_series. And just follow us, guys. Or share with your cool friends. Find us on TikTok at smilingfaces_series. You can also find us on Facebook, because we're here for all age ranges, at smilingfaces_series, no underscore. And then of course, you know, we're on YouTube because we're cool like that. www.youtube.com/@smilingfaces_series.
We also have an official website. It's smilingfacesseries.com. Make sure to go on there and sign up for our newsletter so you get all the latest and greatest about what's going on with the show. And of course, shout out to our fiscal sponsor, Inclusivity Media, and our producer, Mike Bryant, and Defiantly Me Productions. Pew, pew,
pew, pew. We sure do love you. We do love our producer, Mike.
I decided to yes and what I did wrong.
Was it wrong? I thought it was beautiful.
And you should too. My voice just went crazy, and yours can too. Stay weird, everyone. Stay weird.
Amen to that.